Hello, and welcome to Healthy Bites, an all-encompassing podcast about your health from the Audrain County Health Department. Each week, we hope the information you hear on this show from a variety of experts in Audrain County, the state of Missouri, and the world will positively impact your health and your health decisions. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to give us a listen. Now, on with the show with your host, Chris Newbrough.
Thanks and welcome to another edition of the Healthy Bites podcast here at the Audrain County Health Department. I'm Chris Newbrough, your host, and joining me today, we've got Dr. Joe Corrado. He is a general surgeon here in the Mexico area, has been for quite a number of years. Dr. Corrado, how are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Good, good. We wanted to bring you in. March is colon cancer awareness month, mm-hmm. and we wanted to talk about colon cancer and different things. First of all, can you kind of explain what colon cancer is?
Well, first of all, it's the second most common cancer that occurs in both men and women.
Really?
Only in the United States, surpassed by lung cancer.
Wow.
And about 153,000 cases of new colon cancers are found every year here in the United States.
New cancer, not recurring and
right.
New, just
correct.
Just new.
And the one thing is that, you know, in an early stage, we can cure about 90% of the time. So it's very,
nice.
Very important. One of the things that we want to accomplish is people should get screened.
Okay.
But about back in the Clinton era, I think they made a mandate to make March Colon Awareness Month.
Okay.
And so since that time, so it's been several years.
Yeah.
There are certain things that predispose to colon cancer. Number one, everyone who is now 45 years old or above,
okay.
Who's at average risk should be screened. And so what is an average risk? Those are people that don't have any symptoms, that don't have any family history, and they don't have any genetic preponderance.
Okay.
The genetics is only 5 to 7% have a genetic mutation in their genes that they were born with, and they had no.
That's not very high for a prevalent cancer like
right.
this.
Right. So most of it is not from the genetic
sure.
mutations.
Is it from lifestyle or?
I mean, in fact, it's the kind of diet that we use in the United States. We eat animal meats and fats as opposed to. You know, if you went over to certain places in Africa,
uh-huh.
they would have a higher incidence, for example, of liver cancer and almost no colon cancer. So it has to do with things like our diet and, you know, eating meat and non-vegetarian type things.
Huh, nice. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
About 1 in 4 only have that family history. And those people, things that we look at in family history is, you know, if they are immediate family, and those are people
mm-hmm.
who are, you know, parents, brothers, sisters, children, anyone under 60 years old.
So it's not like with lung cancer that your uncle got it, so you're more predisposed
no,
to get it.
No, lung cancer is more, is more prone to people, obviously, that smoke.
Right, sure.
Okay, so colon cancer, we're finding now that unusual cases are now turning up in young people. We have people that are in their 20s.
Wow.
And now in their 30s and 40s. That's why both the American Cancer Society and the National Institutes all have, instead of age 50,
uh-huh.
toned it down to start screening at age 45.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask, what was the age group? What's the biggest age group for colon cancer?
Well, I think it's still in the 50 to 60-year-old.
Okay.
But it's going down to in the higher 40s.
Okay.
So we're finding it in younger people. It's more rare, but unfortunately, when it happens in the younger people, it's usually more deleterious. It's more serious.
I was going to ask about that. Is that can it go undetected for a while?
Actually, that's the problem.
Okay.
That's the problem with colon cancer because, you know, the colon is sort of a big organ. It
right.
starts from the bottom and goes from the left side of your body to the right side of your body. So what happens is colon cancers that occur on the right side near the cecum mm-hmm. and near the ascending colon, there's such a lot of room there that those tumors tend to be silent and they grow and they can get to be the size of, you know, bigger than an apple, et cetera, and not give wow. any symptoms.
Wow.
On the other side, on the left side of the colon, okay, mm-hmm. it's a little near your, what we call the sigmoid colon. Those tumors tend to be smaller, but they tend to get sort of a stricture. You call apple core lesion. It looks like someone ate an apple. When you take an x-ray of barium enema, and it looks like someone is putting some constriction around. And so that has a higher incidence of people come in with obstruction. So the most common signs, okay, are when the tumor gets large enough to cause symptoms. And okay. those symptoms could be, number one is bleeding.
Okay.
So, you know, anytime you see obvious blood, bright mm-hmm. red blood or dark blood in your stool, okay, mixed in, that means it's probably not everyone thinks, oh, I have hemorrhoids. Well, you know, most of the people that tell me they, quotes, have hemorrhoids. Everyone has hemorrhoidal veins,
right.
okay?
Right.
And all bleeding is not hemorrhoids, so that's okay. very, very important. So that's something not to overlook. If you're having some problems with your bowel movements, if there's a change in the caliber of the stool and there's a change in your bowel movements.
What do you mean by caliber? Size?
In other words, the size.
Okay.
Okay, certainly you can have a stricture in the colon that causes it to, you know, like a toothpaste when you squeeze squeeze the toothpaste that comes out thin. So those are
would they decrease in size?
Oh yeah,
because of the constrictor.
Yeah, because of the constriction.
Okay, okay.
So anytime you see a change, you know, and now it's normal to go through times where you have some diarrhea and some constipation, but if it's overtly a change in your bowels, all of a sudden you were fine, and now you notice that
the last three or four times have been.
Last three or four times it's not been so good because most of the time it's silent, and right. unfortunately, you know what happens is it's fine when it's contained to the colon,
mm-hmm.
but what happens is over time those cancers grow, they get into the bloodstream and the lymphatics, and they go to other organs like the liver, and that's one of the first places that colon cancer would go, and it we call it metastasize. It spreads right. to the liver, and so by that time it gets to be what we call stage 4 disease.
Okay.
So
what's the time frame as far as growth, or do we know that? Because it stays hidden for so long, or can.
It's very, very interesting. they've done some studies, and in some instances, for example, in breast cancer, by the time it gets to the size of a pea,
mm-hmm.
some have hypothesized that it's been there for 9 years. So
wow.
some are very, very slow growing.
Okay.
So it's very, very hard to detect that.
Gotcha.
So we have different means.
How do you detect it? I mean,
well,
I know you've got the colonoscopy. That's the most common way,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, well,
isn't
in
it?
The old days, we used to do what we call fecal occult blood, where you would send in a specimen and they would check for blood.
Okay.
Now we have what we call more sophisticated tests. You've heard of the Cologuard. You see that mm-hmm. on television, mm-hmm. okay? And what that does is that's a little more sophisticated. It can detect up to 92%. Of colon cancers, but what it does is it doesn't detect blood, but it actually detects the DNA inside the hemoglobin pigment, which is part of the blood.
Okay.
So it's more and more sensitive. And we know that just because someone has, for example, a Cologuard and it becomes positive, well, then the next step is one should do a colonoscopy.
Okay.
The colonoscopy is the ultimate. Okay, and just because you have a positive Cologuard, for example, about 40% of the time, it's what we call a non-cancerous adenoma, which is a precancerous type polyp.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
Only about 4% do we find the cancer.
Okay.
But usually we think that it starts in the lining of the colon. The lining is called a mucosa.
Okay.
And that lining, the cells start to change. It has to do with both environmental, hereditary, where we live, the type of diet we eat, and all those things. When the cells start to divide, tumors can form. They can form from pre-existing polyps,
mm-hmm.
and they can also, you know, form from no polyp. So
now, not to get too technical here, but I understand that you can, one of the ways you can check too is during the colonoscopy is to pull the colon lining out a bit or to
no,
look at it, or
is, what we do is the best test is to actually visually inspect.
Okay.
So the colonoscopy not only is the excellent test to identify if there's any abnormalities such as polyps that are precancerous, but it also, at the time, it's definitive because you can take care of them.
Okay.
So whenever we do a colonoscopy, you know, we prepare the colon, so we have to clean it out, and we give you laxatives and things to clean it out. That's probably the worst part.
That's what I was going to say.
It's over-exaggerated, you know. We have different methods now. There's some that just you take a whole bunch of pills, for example, and we can clean you out, or the famous...
The Gatorade and...
Miralax
or whatever,
So once you're clean, obviously it makes it nice and easy for the endoscopist to visually inspect the lining of the colon. And so while we're there, we can usually remove any small polyps. Certainly if we find something very, very suspicious, like a tumor, we biopsy it, and then we go from there.
Can you remove the tumor during the colonoscopy, or do you have to go in through the stomach then in that way?
We're talking about two things. If it's a small polyp and there's tumor in the polyp, yes, you can remove the whole polyp.
Okay.
But usually with cancers, it starts not as a polyp, but it starts as a growth. And when we see it, it's pretty obvious. And we, at that time, it's usually fairly wide, and we take biopsies. And the treatment is removal.
Right. Okay. And you go in and is it called resection?
Resection, yeah. When we go in and do surgery, now we can do it all different ways. The old way was making a fairly large incision.
Laying you up for
nowadays,
a couple of weeks,
we can do it with a laparoscopic, which is a type of scope, or even robotic. And it's just a technical way of getting into the abdomen without making a bigger incision. But the process is the same. You want to remove the colon. And you want to remove the area of the colon that is drained by the lymphatic tissue. And so that's how we stage the disease. And
okay.
So if the cancer is contained to the lining of the colon, depending on how thick it is, it's very, very curable. If it's outside of the colon and it's gone to the liver, still you need to remove that part that's in the colon. But then we have ways of taking care of that with chemotherapy, et cetera.
Right, right. I was going to ask you if chemo was an option instead of surgery to remove it.
Is
chemo an option to kill it?
You know, it's not a death sentence.
Right.
I remember when I first came here many years ago, 42 years ago.
42 years ago. Wow.
And here I am as a young surgeon. I remember my wife's grandmother living here in Mexico, and all of a sudden she had some problems, so I had to do endoscopy, and I found the tumor, and I had to, you know, resect, and it was fairly a good sized tumor, but she lived 13 and a half years later, well into her 90s, so it's not a death sentence.
Not a death sentence, right.
Like it was, and even nowadays, even with tumors that are in the liver, there's ways that we can take care of it. So.
Besides the blood in the stool or from the rectum, as a symptom, what are some other, are there any others?
There are sometimes you can have some discomfort and pain. If you had, for example, a tumor on the sigmoid or left side of the colon, if it was semi-constricting, you could then say, well, the bowel gets bloated and dilated up, and that can cause some abdominal pain and discomfort.
Sure.
You could have nausea, just funny abdominal complaints. So, you know, don't take everything serious.
Yeah, something out of the norm, take it seriously.
Yeah, it's not one thing, but it's a bunch of things that when you put it together, you say, oh, my God, that's the problem. And we also, serendipitously now with the advent of CAT scans, we find things that we would never have found.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's what you told me or somebody told me the one time was that it's hard to detect colon cancer through a CT scan because the tumor can hide.
Oh, they're so small. When we're talking about polyps, we're talking about millimeters.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're talking about things that are smaller than, you know, the eraser on a pencil.
Okay,
Those things don't necessarily show up on a CAT scan.
Right.
Obviously, if you have a big tumor.
Sure, right.
That shows up. So that's why it's very, very good to visually inspect the lining. And there you can see some changes. Even with a colonoscopy, you can, you know, you have to realize, you know, that colon is probably about 6 foot or so mm-hmm. by the time, and you know, every square inch you can miss things
right.
on colonoscopy. You know, we're right. just going in there, and if it's really, really tiny, so that's why it's important to you know, have screening and get it over with.
Right, exactly. Okay, so what, wrapping up here, what can somebody do to reduce their risk? Besides, I mean, genetically, probably nothing, but is there...
From that standpoint, well, genetically, if you have a strong family history, mm-hmm. if you say your mother and your brother or your sister had colon cancer, that's first degree relatives, then it's imperative that you get screened. And we say that you should get screened about 10 years before that relative had cancer. So say you had a brother mm-hmm. who had colon cancer at age 45, mm-hmm. then you as a brother should get screened at age 35.
Okay.
And give that 10-year span.
Okay.
So the things you can do are, you know, obviously stay healthy. There's not, you know, from the genetic standpoint, if you have a higher incidence, then you should, you know, have a colonoscopy and get screened
sure.
at regular intervals. What happens is that normally, if you're at average risk, if we do a colonoscopy and we don't find any polyps or growths and everything looks good, you're usually good for 10 years.
Okay. Why is that? Why so long?
What, well, I mean, because it does, in essence, it does take a fair amount of time for a small bunch of cells to turn into a colon cancer.
Okay.
And so 10 years is the norm. If you have a strong family history or we find that you have multiple polyps, sometimes right. I'll see people back in 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
That's the standard.
Right.
And then we screen up until age 75.
Okay.
And then after 75, if you live to age 75 and you're doing fine, the likelihood is you're going to live another 10, 15, 20 years and not have colon cancer.
Right, so and if you do develop it, it's going to be, you know, you're going to be...
Yeah. Listen, I've had people in their 90s and we've removed tumors and
they
live well into close to 100.
So nice, you know, okay, very good.
There's no stopping, you know.
I understand. Yeah, as far as, you know, talking about the colonoscopy itself, the fear there. What, you know, can we address that a little bit?
Everybody's like, no, you're
not doing that to me.
You know, what happens is afterwards they say, oh my God, I just had one the other day. And as I walked out of the room and they were in the recovery area, they asked me, when are they going to have it done? And I said, we already did it. And they didn't believe that I already did it. So we do it now. Very under what we call conscious sedation.
Right.
So the anesthesiologist, the anesthetist, gives you medicine in your vein,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as they give you the medicine, all of a sudden you're talking, and within less than a minute,
right.
you're sort of in la-la land,
right.
sleeping,
yeah.
and we do the colonoscopy, and when we're done, as soon as we stop the medicine, about 5 minutes later, you're up and talking and wanting to know. Totally, you know, amnestic, so you don't remember anything.
Right,
so it's
but
kinda nice.
And the thing about it is, there's no recovery time really. I mean,
you can get up and go from there, and usually
the first thing I did was went and got something to eat.
Yeah,
because you can't eat the day before.
That's right. So usually people are very hungry, and
right.
So that's normally what we do, and people are really relieved after they have it done. They
right.
say, "My God, I don't know why I waited so long."
Yeah, you know. Exactly. Yeah. People want follow-up with you. How can they get a hold of you to talk
well,
more about
obviously
this?
Obviously, they can come to the office or call my office at any time. But, you know, mostly it's done by, you know, in rural areas, the surgeon is usually, because there's no gastroenterologist.
Right.
But surgeons and gastroenterologists are the ones that usually do the endoscopy. Actually, we did them before gastroenterologists were able to do it.
So, oh, wow.
So for many, many years. So, and through the years, it's become, you know, a routine part of a physical examination. It's one of the earliest cancers that if we find it at an early stage, we
mm-hmm.
can cure it, you know.
Nice.
So it's kind of neat. And it's, you know, it's like in lung cancer, well, it's kind of difficult to find, and we have to do certain chest x-rays
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
CAT scans and MRIs. Well, the colonoscopy is the number one. there are other things, you know, the Cologuard tests
are, right.
give you an idea. Flexible sigmoidoscopy, which is
right.
The lower part of the colon, but you might as well just go and have the full colonoscopy because it's both therapeutic and diagnostic. In other words, we can find a polyp or a tumor, and then we can take care of it at the same time.
Gotcha. So, yeah. One final question. How long of a wait, if you find a polyp or a tumor, how long of a wait is there for the patient to find out the results?
We usually do the procedure, and I get the pathology report within about 48 hours.
Oh, okay.
So I always have the patients come back to see me in the office
mm-hmm.
afterward.
Mm-hmm.
I say, well, follow up in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because after you get the medicines to, you know, do the test, you're not going to remember what I tell you. So when I see them in the office, not only do I have pictures of their colon, so mm-hmm. people want to see it, and then I have, if we removed anything, I have the results. And usually it's, the results are very good.
Right.
And I'll say, you know, you had two or three polyps, they were benign. We need to repeat this in 5 years or, you know, unfortunately, oh, we found something, but we can take care of it. This is what we need to do.
Right, right. Okay. Dr. Corrado, thank you for taking time to come in and talk about this.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. That is Dr. Joseph Corrado, a general surgeon here in the Mexico area, and we're talking Colon Cancer Awareness Month, as March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. And this is the Healthy Bites Podcast here at the Audrain County Health Department. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Audrain County Health Department's Healthy Bites Podcast. We hope you will join us again next week as we bring you more discussion on health matters affecting Audrain County residents and the world with your host, Chris Newbrough. If you liked what you heard here, you can find out more information on our website, myachd.org. That's myachd.org. Thanks for listening. See you next week.